bring you a message. It's been on my heart all week long. I hope that you'll bear with me a little bit today. I have a very, very heavy heart and a heavy burden on me. The preacher don't preach the truth from the Bible ain't worth a dime. Isn't that right? Not worth a dime. It ought to be fired. And so I'm going to preach you this morning what I'm sure the Lord laid on my heart. Romans 16:1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is in Cenchrea. Very interesting verse there. That verse is changed in the new versions of the Bible to make Phoebe a deaconess, showing that there's women deacons. The King James has it right. She is a servant of the church. The word deacon itself means servant, but it's a servant with an office, and only men were appointed to that office in the Bible. So Phoebe, a woman, was a servant of the church. And that's what I want to preach on this morning, being a servant of the church. Now, I want to preach this morning and start out by quoting a great heathen made a statement many years ago, and sometimes heathen make statements that are true. And this statement was, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. I want to use that. It's a good thought is used right. I want to preach to you this morning on this subject, being a servant of the church, and here's my thought. Ask not what your church can do for you, but what you can do for your church. It deeply bothers me that we're living in a time when most people, considering going to church, have the attitude is, what am I going to get out of this? What's in this for me? How am I going to be served? How is my needs going to be met? Very few people anymore have the attitude of, you know what? I love the Lord for saving me from hell, and I want to serve and be a servant in the church. We got a weird mentality going around in this country today that says the church that has the most activities or the nicest gymnasium or the nicest fellowship has the most people. There is nothing wrong with having all that stuff. Lord have mercy. You pay for it, we'll build one this year. Nothing wrong with it. But there is something wrong with the attitude of, I get more there, so that's where I'm going for the flesh. That's wrong. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning, there's not many people willing to say, I want to serve the church. I'm going to talk about it. We got 40 days to the youth rally. And we've got some bad, bad philosophy going around. That philosophy that I just quoted to you is a bad one. And let me tell you another bad philosophy. Here's a bad philosophy. I had it hard growing up, and I had to work and everything, and I'm going to make sure my kids don't have to do what I had to do. That has ruined this country. That philosophy of, I had to work when I was growing up, and I'm going to make sure my kid don't have to do nothing, has ruined this nation, ladies and gentlemen. Work will not hurt anybody. Kids learning how to work will not hurt anybody. They need to learn that. Once in a while, somebody asked me, they said, did you have to work a lot? I didn't have to work a whole lot, but I remember my daddy getting up sometimes, and on Saturday morning, I would hear him. We went to school Monday through Friday, and Saturday he was gone, and daddy would come through the house, and he'd holler, get your work clothes on. I thought, oh, no. And no telling what, because he was mean, and he'd fuss at you. And I remember one time we was digging out from under the basement where he wanted to put a set of steps or something in there. And I had to shovel. And I mean, I didn't like to shovel. I was like 11 or 12 years old. And I just shovel that dirt. And I watched Daddy shovel. And I worked, and he'd work you to death. He'd kill you. And he'd just go on and on and on. I'll never forget when we poured that concrete around where my mom's house is now. Daddy, he'd let them come and pour the concrete, but he would not let nobody else finish it. He was going to finish it. And he'd take trowels and rub it and rub it and rub it. And then he'd take a 2x4 and put it across. And he'd say, now you get over here on that side. And I'd get over here on this side. And he'd say, now slide it down. And we'd push these rocks down to there. I hated that. I absolutely hated that. He'd stay out there, but he didn't have no skin on his knees. And I hated it. But you know what? Now I'm glad that he didn't make me. He should have made me do a lot more. Work will not hurt a child. I had to mow a little grass, take out the trash, and they made me clean up my room and make up my own bed. Did it kill me? No. Should I have done more? Yes. And you know what's wrong with our generation of kids is we have petted them rotten. And ladies and gentlemen, we are fixing to have youth rally. And I thought, well, I felt sorry for them because all the things that's happened, and we're fighting the devil all the time, and we get phone calls, people threatening to kill us and burn the house down and everything else. So I made it easy on them and probably should have made them do a whole lot more than they did. Amen over there, right, y'all? That's right. That's right. Probably should have. But what they did have to do won't hurt. Laying in the bed will hurt you, but getting up and doing something will not hurt you. Working in the church will not hurt you. I remember when, Lord have mercy, when they say, now if you'll graduate, I'll buy you this. If you'll graduate, I'll buy you this. And I got to thinking this week and I thought, what did I get? I didn't get nothing for graduating. Nothing. Didn't have a graduation party. They didn't buy me nothing. Why would you buy somebody something for graduating high school? That's what you're supposed to do. You shouldn't get a big car just for doing what you're supposed to do anyway. Amen. Nothing wrong with buying. I helped all three of my girls get a car. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying we have catered to this generation of kids until it's come back to bite us. They ain't worth shooting some of them. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, I thought, well, graduating, that's one close. You know what I done the night I graduated high school? I went over to this guy's house and watched the ball game. I wanted to see really, really bad. We left the school, went straight to his church and watched the ball game. We went straight to his house and watched the ball game. We couldn't get that channel on my TV, and he could get it on his, and went and got it. That's what I done on graduation night. These kids nowadays, we've got this idea that when they're young, you have to entertain them to get them to come to church. And then when they're old, they might get right and come because they want to. But I'm going to tell you, that's a devilish philosophy. That is a devilish philosophy. An 8-year-old ought to want to serve God. A 12-year-old that's saved ought to want to go to church. A 13-year-old, there's no such thing as you can just go wild and we have to cater to you to your certain age and then you suddenly start wanting to come. Your kids are forming their lifetime habits right now while they're 9, 10, 11, and 12 years old. If they're sorry now, they're going to be sorry when they're 30. If they got some discipline and self-respect and respect for others now, they'll have some when they're older. And I've got some things to say about it this morning, so you just might as well buckle your seat belts and hold on. We might experience a little turbulence here in the next few minutes. The captain has turned on the fastener seat belt sign, and please remain in your seats with your seat belts securely fastened, and we'll let you know when the turbulence is over. But I'm telling you, they want to come to church, and I don't know who some of you kids want to be. Do you want to be like Billy Sunday? I doubt it. I think you want to be Eminem. I think your hero is Eminem. You girl, instead of wanting to be like Miss Millie, you want to be like Madonna. And that we're raising. That's why we have a youth choir. That's why we have a youth rally. We have a youth rally to, hey kids, there's something better than what they got out there. There's something more real than what the world's got. And I don't care what you say, real church, when it's right and the Holy Ghost is moving, is the best thing on this planet. There is nothing in the world like church when it's right. There ain't no thrill out there. You say, oh Lord, my mom and daddy makes me go to church every Sunday. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how old you are. If it ever gets real to you and Jesus comes into you just right and God moves in your soul in the right way, you will enjoy church more than anything in this world. If you don't, there's one or two things wrong with you. Your heart ain't right, or you're going to the wrong kind of church. If you're visiting here this morning, you say, well, I've always hated church. Well, you just ain't never been in it when it's just right. When it's right, brother, it don't matter how old you are. Amen. When I was 18 years old, me and these guys, 18 years old, I went to church. They didn't give us a pizza. They didn't take us bowling. I didn't know you could get pizza for coming to church. Never even thought about it.
We'd go down to preacher's house and knock on the door and say, can we have the keys? We want to get in. And we'd go up there and we'd sit around, me and these boys, when I'm 14, 15, 16 years old. And we'd sit around like this and I'd say, let's read the Bible. And he'd read a verse and he'd read a verse. I'd say, let's memorize one. And we'd do that. Let's come back up here Thursday night and we'll quote the verses we've memorized. 18, 17, 16, 15, 14. You say, well, I just want an activity. There's nothing wrong with activities. I'm all for it. We want to go, we'll do activities. You get them ready, we'll do it. I'm all for it. Don't get me wrong. I'm telling you, if that's the only thing that makes a kid want to come to church, something wrong with him, something wrong with mama, something wrong with daddy. I'm telling you, listen, brother, what could be greater than thinking about walking on gold streets? What could be greater than thinking about your sins are gone? What can be greater than thinking about not burning in hell forever? There ain't nothing no better than that. Hallelujah, brother. We said Friday night prayer meetings with no announcements. Preacher wasn't there. Pastor never even announced it. And teenagers meeting in the church wanting to pray for God to do something in their life. Now they say, are you going Friday night? I don't know. Is it fun? Is it going to be fun? Is it going to be fun? We got this idea. If it ain't fun for my flesh, I'm not interested in it. This woman was a servant of the church. That's what I'm going to talk about this morning. I've heard somebody say, when you go to say, well, I'm just not into all this fasting business. Well, I want to tell you something, friend. You're very, very far away from your Bible. Moses, the man of God, fasted 40 days. 40 days. You say, preacher, that's impossible. No, it's not. We got people sitting right here this morning that's done it. Maybe something that is doing it. You say, preacher, that's impossible. You'd die. No, you won't. You'll die a lot quicker if you eat three times a day. Now, I'm going to talk about food here in just a minute. So just hang on. Amen. You know what I heard about a church doing up in Canada? There was a church up in Canada decided they was going to fast and show that they cared for the world that was going hungry and starving. And here's what they did. They said, we only got a cup of tea and a cup of noodle soup and some bread, half a piece of bread. And that's all we had to eat between breakfast and supper. Now you can laugh if you're listening. That's, they said, we're suffering. We're going to identify with the starving world. We want to know what it feels like to starve to death. So all we're going to eat between breakfast and supper is a bowl of noodle soup and bread and a glass of tea. Boy, they're suffering for Jesus, ain't they? I want my child to have it hard like I did, preacher. Listen, it might be good for them to have to bear the yoke in their youth is what the Bible says. Every generation gets sorrier and sorrier and sorrier. Isn't that true? Listen, when I was growing up, all the plants and factories worked 6 days a week. If you work 6 days a week, the Bible says to. The Bible says to. You work 6 days a week. I remember my daddy worked 6 days a week. Sunday you went to church. If you were so sorry you wouldn't go to church, you laid in the bed or went fishing or whatever. But everybody worked 6 days a week. Everybody thought it was weird. Man, they're cutting back to five. What are we going to do? They're cutting back to 5 days a week. That's only 40 hours. That's only 40 hours. I mean, listen, man. I mean, 40 hours is too much for you. You're a lazy person. I'm telling you right now. Listen, all great Christians fasted. Esther fasted. Daniel fasted. The disciples fasted. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Paul fasted. I mean, if you're sick, you can fast. If you got a disease, you can fast a little bit. You may not be able, if you got hypoglycemia, brother, you can do without for a few hours. We are living in a generation that pet the flesh, pet the flesh, pet the flesh, let the flesh have what it wants. Entertain me. Tell me a funny story. Make me laugh. Have some great singers. Have a beautiful facility, and I might show up. I'm telling you this morning, the Bible said that Phoebe was a servant of the church, and by God's grace, that's what I want to be if the Lord will let me. I want to serve the church. God's been good to me. I mean, He could have took us out years ago. We could be in hell frying like a piece of bacon. But He's been good to us and give us help. The least we can do is say, I'm going to do something for my church. You realize, you do realize, I hope you do, that our church, Shining Light Baptist Church right here this morning, is somewhat of a modern day miracle. We have the largest bus ministry in these three counties. God's blessed us with good workers. People love the Lord. I got a letter the other day that somebody in Tennessee said, please send me that choir CD. Send me that choir CD. Send me that choir CD. I'm going to talk to you a minute out of my heart. We get letters from Australia. We get letters from Canada. We get letters from all over the world. People saying, please send me. We get emails, people saying, I watch your service every Sunday morning. Listen, I'm not trying to brag this morning. I'm just saying sometimes we take for granted what we've got. You know why? Because we all know each other, and we know each other's faults, and we know so-and-so ain't this, and so-and-so did that. You look at me, I look at you, you know my faults, I know yours. You know what? We better get down on our knees and thank God for what He's given us here at Shining Light Baptist Church. The radio ministry, you wouldn't believe it. There's people this week showed up saying, they said, you're Denny Castle? I listen to you on the radio every day. There's people come from I don't know where all this week because you and us pay our bills and put some gospel on the radio and help people around this world. I mean, listen, that rock music thing I put on, I don't even know who puts that stuff on there. And somebody showed me, they said, look, Brother Danny, this thing got over 100,000 people watched it. Over 100,000. And when I was preaching on hell, somebody made a video and they put a bunch of rocks of it and then they put me preaching on hell for about 10 minutes and showed, and it's got over 100,000 people watched it. That's unbelievable. God is taking what we do here and shining it around the world. Don't you think it's worth coming back on Sunday night for? Times change, you know. It's daylight till 8 o'clock. You can't use that excuse no more. Well, I can't drive in the dark. Miss Dot here. How old is Miss Dot now, Phyllis? 86. Never misses a service. She's an associate pastor. And she's watching y'all too. If anybody mistreats me, she'll take care of you. She's trying to fatten me up. Brought me strawberry pie the other night. Joe's mom. Where's Joe at? Oh, there you are. How old is your mom now, Joe? 93. Never misses a service. She don't disagree with a word I say. That's the kind you want right there. Hey, amen. I'm telling you tonight, or this morning, ladies and gentlemen, we need to say, hey, hey, we got an opportunity coming up. You know what? Can I tell you something? I got a phone call this morning. Guess who it's from? Ronnie the bus man from Rock Hill. Ronnie got on the phone. He said, Pastor Danny. That's what he called me. Pastor Danny. He said, I'm having a hard time down here. Can't get no help. He said, I got these buses running and trying to move into a new building and I can't find it. He said, but we're coming to the youth rally. He said, I'll probably have about 50 with me. He said, I could bring 100 if I had to help. I thought, oh Lord, somebody get help him. Lord have mercy, somebody get down there and help him. And you know what? He told me, he said, I can get 100. He said, you told me. He said, listen to this. This don't happen everywhere. There's youth rallies all over America. But let me tell you what makes ours different. He said, I bring the meanest, rowdiest bunch of kids that I can possibly find. I said, glory to God, bring them on. We had a fight. Y'all remember the fight we had a few years ago? Lord, it was right in the middle of the evening service. There's a whole back four rows. Somebody hit somebody. Another guy went back and went, bah, like that. And about four back rows shot out the back of that building to see who won outside. You say, you can't have church in a mess like that. I'm telling you, that's my job. That's right up my alley, brother. I'm telling you, I'll bring them on. Bring them on. That's my ministry. That's what God give me I can do. And he said, you know what, preacher? He said, we brought one up there last year. Said, she got saved and she's doing good. And he said, I bring the meanest ones I can find to your youth rally. I said, bring them on, brother. We can accommodate that. That's our ministry. You say, well, I just don't want a bunch of riffraff like that. Lord, have mercy. That's what Jesus went to. He cared about those that were messed up. He cared about them. Listen, if there's no place for people like that in the church, there's something wrong with that church. A youth rally ain't where all the young people from all the good churches get together and pat each other on the back. That's okay. I'm not against it. I'm telling you, let's get them kids in. You know what he said? He said, some of these kids have never been inside of a church. That's what we got coming. So is it worth cooking a hot dog for? Is it worth maybe straightening up some chairs or wiping off some tables? Or is your attitude, I ain't doing nothing this year. Well, you full of the devil, what your problem is. You're welcome. You are welcome. When I got saved, me and these boys on our own. Nobody pushed us. Nobody preached us. They said, let's go give out tracts, Danny. I said, let's go. We'd go to this Nebo truck stop. The only thing open in McDowell County was at, late at night was a Nebo truck stop. Here we was, 18, 19 years old, grab a handful of tracts, and we'd go to the Nebo truck stop. There'd be a truck driver. I'd go sit down and talk to him and say, how you doing? Can you read that? Big old guy's arms that big. Man, look around and say, what do you want? I'd say, look, the Lord loves you and He cares about you. We was tickled to death to get to do that. Nobody made us do it. It wasn't an organized youth activity. What's wrong with some of you teenagers? Are you saved? Do you love the Lord? Are you right with God? I mean, what in the world? Listen, we thought that was the greatest privilege in the world. We get to talk about the Lord. We get to tell. That's what's wrong with our. We've been blessed so much, we don't even appreciate what God's done for us. Some of you sitting here this morning, you won't even sing in a choir. You won't even open your Bible. You're afraid your friends might think you're some kind of weirdo or fanatic. Thank God you can stand out in this generation that hurts God. Every generation gets a little sorrier and a little sorrier. You say, well, I don't want to do no work in the church. Well, sometimes you just do what you're supposed to because you're supposed to. Sometimes preaching is fun. And sometimes, like last Sunday night we had a service in here, and the best way I can describe it was it felt like there was a glass about that thick between me and y'all. You ever been to the prison to visit somebody, and you sit there and they, you know, you have to talk to them through this glass. That's the way it felt, like there was the devil would stop blocking it off. It ain't like that this morning. You're getting it loud and clear. But I tell you, boy, I was preaching, and sometimes it's just like beating your head on a brick wall. And I go home and think, Lord, I can't do this. Lord, I've done that ever since I started. And then other times, boy, it's fun. Listen, you have got to learn to do things not just because they're fun, but because they're right and you're supposed to. You've got to learn to do stuff. You don't want to get up and go to work every morning, do you? But you do. You don't want to say, you don't jump up every morning and say, woo, alarm clock, don't even need you. I'm ready to jump up and go to work. No, you hate it. You want to throw that thing in a trash can. You ain't worth a dime if you can't get up and go to work. And I'm going to tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to have that attitude toward God. It's my church. It's our youth rally. People's coming that are going to hell. Let's give it our best. Let's do what God wants us to do. Am I right? Say amen. Better be careful. When I say something, I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but the Lord put this on my heart. Be careful who you listen to and who you talk to and who you fellowship with. Because there's a lot of people got a lot of poison in their head, and they'll poison you, say, against living for God. You ought to be careful who you hang around with, who you let your kids hang around with. When we were growing up, and up until just the last few years, you didn't bring food to church. Kids now don't bring drinks and food and sit there and eat like they're at the movies or something. This is not the movies, people. It's a whole lot better and a whole lot more important. You don't come in here and bring Mountain Dews and eat in the pews and stuff like that. Listen, there wasn't no cell phone. If you see your kid on a cell phone during service, you ought to grab it and take it away from them and say, you ain't getting it back till next week. Come on, say, now you know that's right. And the reason some of you don't like that, because you sit there and fool with yours. You say, I'm mad. I'm madder than you are. Man can't preach, he ain't mad at something once in a while, ain't that right? Now, somebody in here stand up and tell me it's right to sit there and play on your phone during church. Stand up and tell me, and we'll all laugh at you. You know it ain't right. You know it ain't right. You say, well, I can't say none of them because I do it myself. Well, stop it, brother. Can you not pay attention to God's Word for 30 minutes? Can you not sit there and say, Lord, if you've got something for me to do this youth rally, I'm going to do it by the grace of God? I've seen them sitting there playing, act like they're reading their Bible. As soon as I walk by, whoop, it's the Tar Heels on there now. Surely you can find somebody that does better than them. That hurts you worse than a soul not getting saved, didn't it? That bothered you worse than a lost person walking out the door, them tar heels losing. Pitiful, pitiful, pitiful the shape we're in. When I got saved, my pastor, Pastor Hallville, up there in Nebo, he got up and Nebo school burnt down. Right after I got out. We hoped and prayed for years school burned down. And it never did. As soon as I graduated, school burned down. It did. That's the truth. I'm like, ah! If I'd been in there, they'd accuse us of doing it. Well, I didn't. I didn't have nothing to do with it. Somebody called and said, Nebo school's on fire. And we all went down there, and I remember standing watching that old school burn. And it all crashed into the ground, the old part. And Preacher Hollifield got up and he said, we bought some land over here that they put the Holly Hill Children's Home on there, the hill there in Nebo, right out from the, across the road there from the church, out there where the campground is now. And he said, we need volunteers to come up here. We're going to go to the Nebo school. They give us some brick. And you know, the prettiest buildings you can build is old brick that's been in a fire and old, you know, and you clean them off. And he announced it. Who will come up here and help us fix these brick? Me? A bunch of us guys. We sat down there and picked up a brick and take a little hammer and knock the mortar off of them. Stacked it over here. That was another. Knocked a lot of mortar on that and knocked it all. Oh, yeah. Put it over here. And there's no pizza. Didn't get to go bowling. Didn't get a t-shirt for that. I didn't even get a free t-shirt. And I worked and worked for the church. They're taking advantage of me. Lord, have mercy. That never entered our mind. It never crossed our mind they would feed us. Please don't take me wrong. I'm all for youth activities. I'm all for give them pizza. Praise God. I'm glad we can do it. We will be doing it. I'm glad I take them places. Thank God. I love it. But that should not be the only way a kid wants to come to church or mom and daddy will bring them. Say amen. Amen. We cleaned them stupid bricks. Get something for that never even crossed our mind. Have you thought about how messed up people are nowadays? Don't even know. They're not all, don't all know stuff. I was telling them down there at church last night. I remember over in the old building one time, I was coming to church, and I picked up this drunk. I didn't know how drunk he was. And he didn't seem that drunk. I picked him up over at the exit, Jamestown exit, and he was just sitting on the side of the road, and I rolled over there and I said, hey, buddy, you want to go to church? He said, yeah. And he hopped in my 4Runner. And I drove him over out to the old church. Some of y'all remember? He came in. Lord, it smelled. You could smell him all the way around. I mean, he was sitting there, and he at first, when I started preaching, he was liking it. He said, yeah, yeah. I said something a little rougher, and he stood up and went. And then he sat back down. And bless that. And then I got on something pretty heavy and pretty hard, and I said, and then he didn't like it. He started cussing. Was it you, Brother Jason? Was it you? He's cussing out while I was preaching. And he went back and said, hey, buddy, hey, no, you can't be talking like that in here. You can't talk like that in here. And finally, they had to take him out right there in church. I thought, oh, well, man. And there's a lot of people that say, you shouldn't fool with people like that. Listen, I'm glad the Lord didn't have that attitude toward me. Amen. And you better be glad that he didn't have that attitude toward you. You say, well, that drunk, he went over to neighbor's steps and laid down on their steps, and that's the last time I seen him. I don't know whatever happened to him. He's gone when we come out. Like that fella, you just don't know how ignorant people are about the Bible till you start going out there and getting them, talking to them. That one drunk come to church. There's two of them, and the preacher had been preaching every night to these drunks trying to get them to get saved. Get saved, get saved. And he said, I've got to convince them somehow what they're doing is wrong. So he took two jars like this, clear jar, one over here and one over here. He put water in this one, put alcohol in this one. He said, I'm going to show you what this stuff will do to you. He took a worm, pulled out two fishing worms, and he dropped one in the water and he dropped one in the alcohol. And the one in the water just swimming around, you know, going this way and that way and this way and that way, just having a big time. And the one in the alcohol just balled up like arrow, boom, hit the bottom, died. He said, now, have I made my point? Do you get it? Somebody tell me what that means. Old drunk raised his hand and said, means drunks don't have worms, preacher. That's the kind of people we got to deal with. We have to deal with young people here that just don't. They just don't. It just don't sink through. Do you realize if I didn't know God saved me and called me, I'd quit today. My job's impossible. Trying to get somebody to believe in somebody they've never seen. Trying to get them to believe in a book that they have doubts about. Have them believe in they're going to a city that they've never seen before. Believe in a man that lived 2,000 years ago. But you know what? Like that singing a while ago, I get a little help from above once in a while. I get help from above. Now I'm telling you, thank God, he told me to tell you this morning, we ought to serve our church and be blessed. I'm calling this morning our fast. First thing young people ask, are you going? I don't know. Is it fun? I'm not against having fun, man. I want to have fun too. But sometimes you ought to just do stuff because you love the Lord and want to serve the church. Everything about the youth rally ain't fun. That's how come other churches don't do it. It's work. The next 40 days... I'll work harder than any other time of the year. And I try to work hard all the time. There'll be times when I'll go, probably at least 60 hours. At least. I'm planning on starting tomorrow doing a lot of stuff. It don't just happen. You don't just see 50-something people get saved. Unless there's a servant of the church. I remember young people who prayed and lived for God. And then I remembered some who just wanted to be cool and be hip and hit and miss. Now it's been 20 years. And the ones I remember that stayed in there are pastoring churches. They're evangelists. They're on the mission field. They're serving the Lord somewhere. And the ones that hit and miss and just want to have fun are out in sin and don't even know if they believe the Bible anymore. Now, we've got to get this attitude out of ourselves that everything don't have to be fun. Where in the world did that come from? Show me in the Bible. Where is it? Make it fun and I'll come, preacher. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You say, well, they're little, preacher. Listen, my Aunt B got saved when she was 5 years old and never said a cuss word and lived right and died when she was 82. Don't give me this baloney if they're young, so we expect them to go out and get wild and smoke pot and get pregnant and sow their wild oats and they'll get bright when they're in their 20s. That ain't in the Bible, stuff like that. There's nothing in the Bible said a kid can't live right when they're 14. There ain't nothing that says you 15-year-old kids couldn't be taking your Bible to church and being a witness and standing for God, sitting up here on the front row like you got some sense. There ain't nothing in the Bible that says you have to be a sinner till you're 25. Is there? Where'd we get this idea of, well, you know, they're teenagers and they're going to get out. No, they don't have to get out. It's time that we become a servant of the church. Now, here's what I want to do. I'll read you this verse and I'm going to say something and I'm done. Mark 9:29. This kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. I'm going to call a fast. 40 days, starting tomorrow. I want everybody that will to join with me. Sometimes in the Bible, most when you fast, you don't even tell nobody. I will be. And then sometimes in the Bible, the leader would proclaim a fast and people would follow. So it's both ways. Esther, Nehemiah, and all them people, sometimes they'd make a public proclamation. In Nineveh, when Jonah went in there, the king said, all right, everybody fast. Nobody eat nothing. And God spared that city. Listen, God's been good to us. But if you agree with this, say amen. Now listen, what I'm getting ready to say, and if you agree with it, say amen. Don't you think our church needs something? Amen. Yes, we do. We're doing good compared to some, but we ain't nowhere near where we need to be. And I'm talking about Brother Danny, and I'm talking about you and your family and your husband and your wife, all of us. There ain't nobody in here got no right to look down on somebody else and say, boy, they're not right with God. I'm more spiritual than you. You're probably more backslid than they are. The truth is this morning, all of us, starting right here, needs to be in this altar rededicating our life and saying, God, by your grace, I want to be a servant of the church. That don't mean we can't have fun. That don't mean we won't go bowling. I'll go bowling with you. I don't like go bowling. But I'll, you know, come out here and play basketball. We'll play till midnight. I love it. I'm going to tell you something, people. Life ain't all fun and games. There's a world going to hell, and we got the answer. So I'm going to do, starting tomorrow, we begin our 40-day fast. Now, when you fast, in case you don't read your Bible much, in the Bible, fasting is not eating food. It don't mean milkshakes either, and slim fast, and something that thick like peanut butter, and saying, well, I'm just drinking liquids. In the Bible, when they fasted, they only drank water. Some people choose to drink juice if it's an extended fast. That's between you and the Lord. But in the Bible, it's water. Somebody told me the other day, they said, well, preacher, I'm fasting. I'm not eating any sweets till Friday or something like that. That's us. That's us. You know why? You say, well, I just can't do it. You know why you can't do it? Because you refuse to tell your little old flesh no and let your flesh hurt one little bit. You can't stand that flesh hurting. That's your problem. You're spoiled rotten. Now, if you've got a sickness that keeps you from fasting, then that's different. You can go a little while. You can go a little while. Anybody can. If you're going to fast tomorrow, go from tonight to tomorrow night. 9 o'clock tonight, 9 o'clock tomorrow night. That's 24 hours. Now, if you really want to do it, go on to Tuesday morning. That's a whole day's fast, 30-something hours. That's the best way. That's what I plan on doing during these next 6 weeks. Don't whine. Don't whine about God not blessing if you're not willing to fast and pray. All right? I'm going to go through the days of the week, and I want you to raise your hand. Whatever day you can fast on, some days are better than others. And I just want to, not to be showy or anything, I just want to make sure we got somebody fasting every day between now and the youth rally. I usually do this on Sunday night. This is the first time I've ever done this on Sunday morning. You want God's power on the church? This ain't one church out of 5,000 even do something like this.